Good morning, brothers and sisters. How are we today? Once again, gathered in the house of our Father and receiving from Him His grace and mercy and the love that He shows us every day. Today we're going to, when we get to the sermon time, we're going to be talking about some hard teachings. Not like that ever happens in life, right? My dad always told me that, you know, he said learning experiences are very rarely pleasant, you know? He told me that right before I went to basic training. He was right. It wasn't pleasant. But today we are gathered here in our Father's house to receive from Him. And so let us begin our service together, remembering the day that we were adopted into the family of Christ through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We come before you today to worship you, to give you honor and praise for the many things that you do in our lives and the lives of all of your creation. So we pray this day you'd help us to fix our eyes upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Trouble anywhere. Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee.
My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you this morning. Our first reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Now is giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
All right, kids, come on up. Let's see here. Today, I'm going to need some help. Let's see. Who can help me? Are you going to help me, Liam?
Yes.
All right, very good. Come here. Come here. Come here. Liam, come here. Here's what I need you to do, okay? Are you ready? Do you know how to do jumping jacks? Very good. What I need you to do is I need you to stand here and do jumping jacks until I tell you to stop. You got that? All right, go. All right, now I'm going to need some other help, too. Who else can help me? Let's see here. What's your name?
Emmy.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you math, okay? You ready for this? Now, have you done addition yet? You know what 1 plus 1 is? What is 1 plus, what's 1 plus 1? It's 2. Oh, good. I'm glad. That's awesome. Now, do you know what 2 plus 2 is? How's it going, Liam?
Good.
Good. Excellent. Keep going. All right. You know what 2 plus 2 is? Is this fun? Not terribly fun, is it? Liam, are you having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep going then. All right. So let's see. Okay. How about this? How about we do multiplication instead? Do you think that'd be more fun? How about exponents? Factoring. Okay, this is probably not going to work out so good. You did a great job. I am so proud of you. Liam, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm so glad. All right, so the thing is what I want to talk about. You know what I'm really noticing about you, Liam? Oh, I can't stop. Keep going. Okay. All right, now the one thing I'm noticing about Liam is that he has a lot of endurance. He is continuing to go. And here's what our Bible verse is telling us today. You can sit. You did an amazing, shake my hand. You did an astounding job. Most impressive. All right. So the thing is this. A lot of times when things get hard, we like to quit, don't we? Have you ever done that before? Like, you know, somebody gives you a job to do and you're like, okay, I'll do the job. And then as soon as it started to not be fun anymore, did you want to keep doing the job?
No.
No? Did sometimes you leave the job? I've never done that. Maybe a few times. Anyway, the thing is that what this lesson is about today, what Jesus is teaching his people is he is teaching them about hard things, but not just hard things in general, hard things about learning. Because Jesus is teaching his followers, all his followers came to him and they thought they knew what was going to be, they thought they understood how this relationship with Jesus was supposed to work, that they would come and follow Jesus and Jesus would give them food. And they thought that was a cool deal. Think that'd be pretty cool? You just go follow Jesus and he just feeds you, takes care of you, you don't have to do anything. But Jesus was teaching his people that it was actually going to be harder than that and that there were some really difficult lessons that they needed to learn. And do you know what a lot of the people did? They quit. They said, this is too hard of a lesson. Who can believe it? We're going home. And they stopped following Jesus. Is that a very good idea? No, not such a good idea. Even if it's hard, do we still want to follow Jesus? Absolutely. And do you know why? Because Jesus, you know, he must have been like, wow, I can't believe all these people are not following me anymore. And he went to his very special disciples. You know those people, the 12? He went to them and he said, are you also going to leave me? And Peter answered for the disciples. And do you know what he said? He said, where else would we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. Is that a pretty big thing to say? I mean, who else can tell us how to be saved besides Jesus, right? Does anybody else have an answer?
No.
Nobody else has an answer. If we don't go to Jesus and hear about how he died on the cross for us and that he took our sins and that we are forgiven because of him, can we possibly go to heaven?
No,
we can't. And that's what the disciples were saying. They said, even if it's hard, we're still going to follow you because you are God and you love us and you died for us and we are saved because of you, so we will follow you anywhere. Make sense? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for teaching us to do hard things. Please help us stay strong. Thank you for our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it is now time for a little worship. So anybody 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And the rest of us, let's open God's word and do some reading today. So, Jesus' ministry was going so very well up to this point. Jesus had been going around and teaching. He had been instructing people in the faith. He had been introducing people to himself and to his teachings, which of course he told everybody that if you know me, you know the Father. If you know me, you know God himself. If you know me, you're really truly understanding how this whole thing works. And here we are at the very beginning. All is well. He was healing people. People were bringing sick people to him. And then he fed people. And it's sort of like cats, I think. You know, you feed the cat, you own a cat now. You know how that is? Well, it's sort of like that with crowds too, it seems, because Jesus went out and he fed the 4,000. Which was first, 4,000 or 5,000? I never get this right. Five is first? Okay. He did the hard one first. So he did the five. It's good to have an associate pastor. See, I can have. Anyway, the thing is that you get a, he went out and he fed the 5,000, and then he crossed the river and the people followed him, and he fed the 4,000, and people were getting used to this. This was a good plan. They liked this, right? That when they had needs, God would address their needs. He would do it very directly, very predictably. Things would work out great. This was awesome. Everybody was excited, and finally they came back to Jesus, and now we are in this bread of life discourse where the people are coming to Jesus wanting bread, and Jesus is insisting that they look deeper than just their bellies, but they don't want to. They think they've got this relationship figured out, that this is how it works. I need, you provide, we're all happy. This is how things go. I don't know why we need to change this, Jesus. This is a very agreeable situation that we're in right now. How about we just not rock the boat? But Jesus starts saying things. And the things that Jesus was saying was not agreeable to the people. He kind of started talking a little bit crazy, you know, because he starts talking about, he's talking to the people, and their people are like, well, hey, Moses, you know, Moses gave us bread from heaven. And Jesus goes, wait, Moses did what? It was your father that gave you bread from heaven. It was not Moses. Moses is just a guy, you know, but the Father is giving you bread from heaven right now. And I am the bread from heaven. Well, that seems kind of strange. And they're like, well, that's just weird. I mean, how are you bread? That makes no sense. And then Jesus ups the ante and says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be saved. Well, now that's really weird. And the people come back and say, what, do you want us to be cannibals? I mean, what are you getting at? What, this makes no, this is highly disturbing now. And you can just imagine the disciples behind Jesus going, what is he doing? We are doing well. We are building a following. We have got a bunch of people. Attendance is great. What are you doing talking about this crazy stuff all of a sudden? All of a sudden you're talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. But does Jesus back down? No, Jesus doubles down. He goes even more graphic. Instead of just saying, unless you eat my bread and drink my blood, he uses another Greek verb that is like chewing and biting and like extremely graphically. What is Jesus doing? And the people, they respond, they just say, this is too hard of a teaching. Who can accept this? This is a mess. I don't understand what Jesus is talking about. I'm no longer comfortable here. I think I'm done. And they walk off. And I would love to pick on those people, because obviously, you should not give up on Jesus just because things are hard to understand. Obviously. But we do it all the time. I mean, how many times is it that we are reading in Scripture and we come upon a verse that we don't like? Ever happen? I mean, verses that just don't, that doesn't fit my sensibility. It doesn't seem like it's what God ought to say, right? Now, at this point, we have a choice to make. The question is, how are we going to address this part of Scripture? Because God doesn't make mistakes. And God gave us the Scripture so that we could understand Him better. And He gave us Scripture to reveal Himself to us, because unless God actually came down and told us about Himself, we wouldn't know what He was like, what He loved and what He hated, what His dreams and passions are, what motivates Him and what makes Him do the things He does. We wouldn't know that He loves us. We wouldn't know that He died for us. We wouldn't know any of this stuff if God had not revealed it to us. And so we receive this book full of God's love and His teaching, all given to us because He wants us to understand our relationship with Him. But as soon as we bump into a passage that we don't particularly like, we just turn the page and try not to think about it. And the question is that really the way we want to live? I mean, do we want our relationship with God to be on our own terms, where I will listen to God and do what God says, and I will take seriously the thing that God is saying as long as it doesn't make me uncomfortable? But if it starts to make me feel at all squishy, I'm just going to ignore that part and try not to let it ruin my day. Because that's exactly what happened to these people, is that Jesus started rolling out a very challenging, very difficult thing. What He was trying to do is He was trying to take them from this very superficial understanding of faith to a much more in-depth thing, where it's like Jesus is saying, I'm not showing up to make your life nice today. It's not why I came to earth. I didn't come here so that your belly would be full. I didn't come here so that I could heal a few sick people. That's not what I came for. I'm doing those things because I love you and I want to show you who I am and I want to show you my compassion, but it's not the reason for which I came. The reason for which I came was so that you can have life. And that for you to have that life, it means that you have to take me in. You have to take me, all of me. You don't get to pick. You don't get parts. You don't get any of this. You are going to have a relationship with the God of the universe, and you're going to have that relationship on the God of the universe's terms. That He dictates. He says, this is what is real, and our job is to be His people who follow our Master's voice. You understand the relationship? I think sometimes we get this idea that God is like our fuzzy Christmas, you know, Santa Claus in heaven, and then we can just like give Him wishes and He just kind of answers sometimes and gives us what we want sometimes, and we kind of have this understanding with God, you know. I've even seen it before where people make deals with God, you know. It's sort of like, you know, if you get me a new car, then I might even go to church. You know, that kind of a thing. And it's just all these things. But the thing is that that's all trying to have a relationship with God on our terms. Like, we're the smart ones, and God needs to follow our lead. But that's just not reality. Reality is, God is big. And faith and God's revelation to us is complicated. And there's going to be some hard things in there. There's going to be some things in there that we will really, really struggle to understand. I mean, really struggle. I mean, the whole idea of when we're young and none of our joints hurt, right? The problem of pain is not such a big deal, right? When we start getting older and everything hurts, and our health is failing, and the world around us just looks so hopeless, all of a sudden we look at the world and we say, how can God love us and there be pain in the world? And unfortunately, too often, if people do not have any endurance at seeking after God's truth and tearing into that truth and praying over that truth and seeking God's wisdom and understanding, the question becomes the answer. How can God love us? I guess he doesn't. Move on. Wait a minute. Is that true? And if it's not true, how does that work? What is it that God explains to us in Scripture about pain? How does he describe it? How does he see it? What is his plan regarding pain? All of those things. You understand how this goes? I mean, the whole idea of prayer, for the longest time in life, I'm like, I understand God wants me to pray, but I really don't understand why I would bother. I mean, God loves me. He's going to do everything for me anyway. If I pray, I get the same stuff. What's the difference? Well, it's kind of a very human understanding of the thing. I mean, the idea that the truth is God actually tells us, and this is the unchanging God, right? This is a God that already knows everything and already loves you completely, and he says your prayer changes things. Well, that's weird. How do you figure that one out? How do you wrestle that one in your head so that you know that your prayer is powerful even though you, as a puny little person, can't change God? These are hard teachings. These are things that we struggle with and the thing is why does God do that? Why does he give us things that are so hard to understand? Why can't he make the book easier to grip and easier to understand? I mean, he wrote a book in the Eastern mindset, which is really weird because we're not Eastern people. You know, we like outlines. Bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three. We like things nice and tidy and in order. And that's not the book we got. We got a book where there's just a collection of stories and you're supposed to learn. Well, why did he make it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why? I think there's several reasons. One really big one is you got to understand God is not trying to just educate you. He's not just trying to fill your brain with data. He's developing a relationship with you. You know what a relationship is? That's one of those things where you have to, like, interact. You know? I mean, I can read a book on George Washington. I will never know George Washington because I have never had the opportunity to interact with him. God is forcing us into situations in which we are going to have to interact with him. You get this? I mean, you run into a part in Scripture and you're just tearing it up, trying to figure out exactly what is going on with it and what are you going to need to do? You're going to need to pray. And you're going to need to read more Scripture. And you're going to need to go to smart people who have thought about this for thousands of years. Well, I guess no individual has, but people who have thought about this for a long time and can add wisdom and understanding to what you're dealing with. But when we do this, it is wrestling with God. We are trying to understand, not wrestling against God, though. That's what we got to guard against. We can do that from time to time. If our own biases are so strong, sometimes we will actually fight God. But if we get to the right way of dealing with this stuff, we're wrestling with God as we struggle to understand and to receive him as the real God that he is. That we, instead of trying to fight and say, no, God shouldn't be that way, say, wait a minute, how is God? What does he say? The thing is this, if we ever get to the point where we think God is not loving, are we getting it right? Well, no, Scripture's kind of clear about that, right? This whole incredibly gracious, loving, beyond all expectation, unlimited love that God gives us. There are things that we know, and then there are things that we struggle to understand. And sometimes when we're in the middle of trying to figure out these things, the most important thing we need to do is go back to the things that we for certain know, right? like, does God love us? Does he want what is best for us? Has he made a way for us to be saved? What is my task on earth? What are we supposed to be doing? Both in the macro, you know, like what is the church on earth to be doing? But also in the micro, what am I and my family supposed to be doing? What is our role and how are we supposed to be contributing to the ministry of God and being part of what he is doing on this earth? And we have so many questions and such struggles, and sometimes getting to the answers to those questions can be hard. And the question I have for you today is the struggle worth it? Because if the struggle is worth it, we stay at it. We keep praying that God would give us wisdom. We keep praying that the Spirit would give us peace, that we would find the right way, that at the right time we would know what it is we're supposed to do or the right thing to say or the whatever the struggle is, that God would help us through the struggle, but that we would not give up, because as the disciples said, where else are you going to go? The God of creation, the one who loves you, has lovingly written a book so that you will have his revelation, his word. He has given you his Holy Spirit through the gift of baptism so that you can understand this word that otherwise you would not be able to understand. Now, all that says is doesn't make it easy. It's just the fact of what God has provided for us. And the question now is, when it gets hard, are we going to turn away? Are we going to stop paying attention? Are we just going to try to churn the channel so that we don't have to deal with something difficult? Or, in the words of the disciples, are we staying? Because there's no place else to go. This God, he is our life. He is our eternal life. He is the one who has provided every good thing that I have. He loves me. He wants what is best for me. He wants what is best for the church. And I love him and I will serve him. And if I never understand all of the hard teachings of Scripture, it doesn't make any difference, because he is still God and I will still follow him and I will still struggle with these things and I will still try to understand, and I will still pray, and I will spend more time in Scripture and in study, but I will not give up, because he has the words of eternal life, and there is no other. Hard teaching. But in the middle of the hard teaching, still an incredibly gracious, loving God who is desperate to react and to respond and to spend time with you, each of you. Isn't it crazy? What a God we have. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son into this world so that we can live forever, that you are our eternal life, Lord. And Lord, I pray and I thank you that you've given us this faith, and I thank you that you've given us this revelation. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully seek after your truth, not to turn away from hard teaching, but to embrace it, Lord, in faith, knowing that you're right, but just trying to understand what it is you're saying. Thank you for loving us so much. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Was redeemed only beauty.
Stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging how following you is challenging at times. But you have the words of eternal life. Help us to never give up on you. Help us to endure through all the trials and the temptations that we might face. Fill us with your Spirit and point us in the right way to go. Give us the strength to follow you all the days of our lives. Lord, we pray for people in our community and people that we know and love who are struggling with illnesses. We pray that you would grant healing to Jeanette Fleming as she's recovering with hip injury. Pray that you would be with Dorothy Rabe as she recovers after a fall. Pray that you continue to give strength to Cameron Wheeler. Give him the nutrients that he needs to grow and be with his parents, Ramsey and Brandon, as they're caring for him and all those who are giving him medical care. And Lord, we give you thanksgiving for a successful surgery for Russ on his kidney. Lord, guide all of these people and give them strength and endurance to press on. Help them to know of your love and your presence. Lastly, Lord, we pray that you be with all of our civil leaders. We pray that they would be mindful of the people that they serve, mindful of their needs. Give them wisdom and mercy to steward well the position that they are serving out. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you. life. The rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Seated. I'd like to dismiss the children who are going to Sunday school to the back to meet up with DCE Lauren Bates to go over there. And concerning education, we have the last class as far as on the topic of the Bible and archaeology that Pastor Bob's going to be teaching here. And we have our last new member class that I'll be teaching where we meet. One thing of note, next week we have our picnic. It's going to be taking place over at Kershaw Park, and it's going to be almost immediately following the service next week. So we have no Sunday school, no Bible class, but we encourage everyone to bring a side to share. Should be a great time. So plan on coming over to Kershaw Park for that next week. We're also going to be receiving new members next week, so it's a great chance for you to get to know some of them and them to know some of you. A couple other things I want to note. We have some signups that you can still sign up for. One is the Koinonia groups. We're trying that again this fall in September, October, November. And as well, we have a sign up for a class that I'll be teaching and starting in September about the idea of parents passing the faith on to their kids and some ideas there. So if there's more information on both of those in the bulletin, or you can talk to me if you'd have any questions. Otherwise, I pray you have a wonderful rest of your week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.